Mr. McDonald, can you sing a little bit for us?
Yes, I could, Bob.
Bob. Miles has been butchering Doobie Brothers songs here. Do China Grove or whatever it is.
I like to do a Beatles song.
All right, yeah, in honor of the 50th anniversary or whatever it is.
You ready, Bob?
I didn't know Michael McDonald like had a tether on his testicles.
That's right, Bob. I'd like to be on Tatooine on Jabba's palace with you. We'd be living large on the snail barge,
yeah,
watching a metal bikini or two.
Oh, very nice. I don't recall that one being on the Beatles catalog, but...
Yeah, I'm gonna be there, Bob.
Now you sound like Aaron Neville again.
I keep forgetting Bob likes to watch the BBC. I keep forgetting.
Oh my goodness. Well, this last week I wasn't watching the BBC. I was watching the CBC, but that's a whole other story there, you know.
Yeah, you like the CBC.
The CBC, yeah. I was watching, me and Flat Manny were watching women's curling.
Bob, you give me the heebie-jeebies.
On the CBC, you know.
On the CBC, you give me the heebie-jeebies on the CBC.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
You going to be okay there, Miles? Yeah.
You're watching Kurt versus Miles. This is Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald. Now you sound a little like Michael Jackson.
Michael McDonald Jackson.
This is Michael McDonald Jackson.
Michael McDonald Jackson. Free love.
So yeah, no. Hey, I had a big tiring trip this last week.
Bob had a big trip.
Yeah, I had a big tiring trip last week.
Tiring trip.
I went to Calgary, Canada, for work for a couple days.
Calgary.
Yeah, I don't know how I got to do that, but that's what happened. So. I went up there to shore up Canadian-American relations. So, you know.
Y'all will be in Canada.
So, yeah, I took care of that. That's all going good.
How'd that go, Bob?
It went well. It went very well, Michael McDonald.
Did you get a full-body cavity search?
Almost. Very close to that, yes.
Did you fly into Canada, Bob, or did you drive?
I flew, yes. I had grueling flights, yes.
Yes.
Had to go through customs. Oddly enough, going through customs was nothing compared to going through the security screening, so...
Really, Bob? Well, what happened?
You would think customs there would be a little more stringent, but it was more like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, where the TSA were a little more hardcore with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was a little rough. I got groped a couple times.
Oh.
Not very fond of that, thank you very much. Yeah, I felt like I was at Neverland Ranch. Exactly right. That's what I felt like. Oh, look at the llama. Let me grab your junk. Thank you.
You don't know me, but I want to touch you.
Yeah, so I got groped a few times. I got swabbed for explosives at one point. That was nice. I did. I'm serious.
How did that happen, Bob?
I was walking on up, and this nice young lady said, oh, do you mind if I take this toilet brush looking thing with a piece of cloth on it and rub it on you. What could I say?
I'm going to do it on my own.
No, they swab your palms. They swab your belt, like your belt buckle, and they swab a shoe. And I was traveling with somebody, and they picked us out of the lineup to swab. And so we both got swabbed, and the guy's like, "What was that for?" I said, "Explosives." He's like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's what they do to check for... to check if you have any residual, you know, like you're making a pipe bomb or something. That's what they do to you." So,
wow.
So I got that. I got scanned. Yeah. I got patted down. I got questioned a whole bunch by people who could hardly speak English, so I had a trouble understanding.
I use that.
Yeah. Let's see.
Explosives on.
Yeah, it was. It was like, what? This poor, this lady, I come walking up and the lady asked me a question which I could not comprehend. I could not comprehend what she said to me. And I go, "I'm sorry." And then the next thing you know, she's writing things on my papers. She wrote something down and then I got shuffled off to a different line and I got groped. Yeah. Now this was I guess this was the U.S. This was the U.S. Customs.
Well, you should just have a speech.
Well, this is U.S. TSA. It was Customs and TSA. Customs, I breezed through. People talked to me, asked me a couple questions. I'm like, "Yeah, I got nothing. You know, whatever."
Excuse me, I'd like to ask you a couple questions.
But actually, the thing that will most interest you didn't even happen on my trip to Canada.
Oh, yeah?
Well, it happened at the very beginning of my trip to Canada.
Yeah.
So I decided in order to, because of the way things were going to happen, I didn't want to leave my car anywhere. And so I decided to take the train into the airport. And so,
Lambert
International, yes. Lambert International Airport. So I went and got dropped off at the train over here on the east side. And basically I rode almost the whole train, right, all the way to the airport. And so I'm riding the train, and there's like nobody on it at first. And then a bunch of people get on and so forth. And this older lady like bumps into me. And then she sits down. She's like, "Oh, I'm sorry." I'm like, "Oh, no problem, you know, whatever." I'm just, you know, a giant in this world. I can't, you can't have not seen me. I mean, it's an impossibility, so. But I'm like, okay. So she sits down behind me.
Okay.
I'm sitting in it, because there's not that many people on the train at this point in time. Just
a minute.
And so... I got, there's all kinds of stuff going on here. So, I'm riding the train and I'm, lady sits down behind me and then we go like maybe a stop or something. And then her phone rings. Ring, ring, right? She picks up her phone. She goes, "Hey, what's that? Progresso?"
Progresso.
No, so her phone rings and, she picks it up and she's like, "Hello, hello, you know, this is someone, so this is Linda," or whatever her name was, or Loretta, and she's like...
"Get back home, Loretta."
"Get back home." And, yeah, funny you should say that. And so she's like, "Who are you with?" "Atlanta State Troopers. Oh, my, what's going on?"
Red flag.
Red flag. And then, yeah, and then she proceeds to say, you know, "Mr. Officer Honeycutt with the Atlanta State Troopers."
Yeah.
"Oh, you mean, oh, my parents have been in an accident."
Oh, Jesus Christ. Red flag.
"Parents have been in an accident in Atlanta." Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. "What? I need to get down there." "Of course. Of course I'll come right away." He's like,
"And
no.
I need money from strangers immediately?"
You're so, like, clued into these things.
Yes.
She's like, she goes, "No, I can't get down there right away. I have to get a bus ticket." And he's like, "I've only got $110 and I need $140 for a bus ticket." Mm-hmm. She's still on the phone at this point.
You get out your checkbook. You're like, I'm going to be a hero right now.
Yeah. You're like really quick on this. I was so slow. So then she talks to him for another couple of minutes and then hangs up and calls somebody, or at least pretends to call somebody. Yeah. And she's talking to her girlfriend. Oh, and she starts to cry. And carry on. Oh, my mom is dead. And my father is in the hospital.
Did he start laughing at any point?
No. I was like, what in the hell? Thankfully, most of the time in public, because I don't like to talk to people, I usually have my headphones in, right?
You change your mind about driving your car to the airport.
Yeah, it was because I had a long freaking way to go. I'll tell you that right now. I had like another hour on this train because of all
the stops. Oh, my God.
So she talks to her girlfriend, and she starts crying and everything. And so she does that for a while. And it dawns, I mean, you're way quicker than I was. It dawns on me, I'm like, this lady's pumping me for money, right? There's other people in the car, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
But she's sitting behind me, and I was like, I got 21st century panhandled because she was using her cell phone for all the information.
Mm-hmm.
And she was hoping I was over listening, but which I was, but I did have, I was listening to a podcast or interview or something. I had my headphones in, and so I just ignored her. And then she sat there behind me for a while, and then I wasn't budging, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then she moves across the aisle and continues, makes another phone call, starts crying again to this other lady who got on the train. And like everybody's just ignoring her. I felt so bad. Everybody is just ignoring this poor old lady, you know what I mean? And so then this goes on. Like we cross the river, we're through downtown, we get out towards the hospital, God. Barnes Hospital. She is carrying on and carrying on, making phone calls, trying to round up this $30, right? Which who knows if the phone was even real. You know what I mean? It could have been Fisher Price. I have no idea. I did not look at her. I didn't make eye contact whatsoever.
She knew exactly how much the bus ticket was from St. Louis to...
Oh, yeah, just right away, yeah.
She just happened to know it was like $240.
So then over by the hospital, we pick up some other folks because there's a couple of real hot spots for the train, right? One of them is over by the hospital. Yeah. And so a lot of people get on there, and she keeps going on and on. And this other lady sat behind me at this point. And so we get past a couple spots, and she's crying and carrying on. And then the lady behind me goes, Loretta, you pulled that on me last week. You might as well just shut up. And oh my God, she got so angry. She starts cussing this lady out and carrying on.
Oh, Kaylee,
I cannot believe you in my moment of need. And then she finally just opens up and says, has anybody got a few dollars for my bus ticket?
Nope.
Oh, my God. She went all the way to the airport and then rode the train back and pulled the same shit. Jeez. I swear to God. I don't know if she did or not, but more than likely she did. She was tenacious.
I might try this.
She was going to get $30 off of that train by the time she got home. I'm telling you that right now.
My cat needs an operation. When?
Oh, but she was crying and carrying on.
That's a scam. That's a good scam.
Oh, at first it was, and I'm like, this lady's scamming me. She's got to be scamming me.
Yeah.
I'm like, who in the hell gets a phone call on a train?
But their parents just got killed in a car wreck.
Right, just got killed in a car wreck. Now, the interesting thing was, she was very up to date because on that day in Atlanta, they had a big snowstorm, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, she was with the news. The news cycle was all about Atlanta having this ice storm and all this good kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she was right there with it. And they were like going to, you know, shut down all these planes. And then actually they did the next day. But she was right with the news cycle. I was just like, oh, my gosh, I got 21st century panhandled.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought you'd love that considering you know how much I like to get panhandled. So.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I probably would have fell for it.
Yeah, you probably would have busted out. I had some cash because I was leaving. I was going up to Canada. So
I got a coupon for Subway if you want.
Yeah, here you go. Here's my free Subway sandwich. I'll take
it. She probably would have took it. Yeah, she would have took it.
Hey, woman's got to eat even if her parents are dead.
So a lady called her out. Man, that's great.
Oh, yeah, she called her out. And boy, oh, boy, did that lady go off. Oh, my God. I thought that up to this point, I wasn't scared. At that point, I was like, holy shit, we're going to have a cat fight.
Oh, my gosh.
Of these two, you know, older, you know, 50-year-old women are going to go at it.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to be caught in the middle here.
Turn into a ballroom, blitz.
Now you were saying I told you earlier that I was by the Goodwill today and was looking around. You said that wasn't my kind of place. Well, let me tell you, there's better clientele at the Goodwill than ride the train. So
yeah, I've never been panhandled at Goodwill.
Oh my God.
Ever.
So
that's
yeah.
A good scam. I like that.
Yeah, you should. Well, if your wife will give you back your cell phone, you can try it.
I will. I'm going to try that.
You don't even need a working one. You just need a one that you can hold up and go, you know, Shirley, I need $30.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she.
What an awesome scam.
And at no point did she ever ask anybody for money except for that very last part after she got outed.
Okay, that was her last... anybody at all didn't fall from a hokey bullshit.
Yeah, the last minute, last ditch effort there. And I'm just I'm just like, please get me to the airport. Give me the airport.
I go. I mean, next time, after it.
I don't even want to go
I'll
out of the country.
$50 next time. Screw it. My wife can drive me.
That's right. Well, no, she was busy, so that's why I did it. But
your mother-in-law, why didn't she do it?
She took me to the train, so.
Oh, she
I didn't want her to have to drive me all the way over.
Next time, I'm guessing she's going to, yeah.
Well, I took a chance on that, you know.
Bob, you'll never have to talk to those people again.
Yeah, no, I didn't want her to have to drive all the way there and back. I'd take a couple hours, you know.
No,
as it was, I had to sit through, you know, 75 minutes worth of panhandling, but...
Oh, no!
Yeah, crying and carrying on.
What am I going to do?
Exactly. You got it.
This fat lady with glasses ain't giving up money. Anybody else?
You should be in this. You should work with this lady.
Yeah.
What she needed is you, because what she needed to have was the person to start it off, right? So then you would be the guy with $5, right? That you guys would keep, you know.
One would be hysterical and one would be like, no, let's be strong. Let's not.
Yeah, you would comfort her and say, well, here you go. I've got $10 here. Just take it.
It's okay here. I don't know. I'm putting it in the first.
You know, hey,
when
let's get everybody. Let's pitch in so she could ride, so she could fly.
Please, $20, everybody.
Yeah, just $20, and she'll be able to fly. Come on.
If all 60 of us put in, she'll
have
more
than
enough.
If everybody, exactly, you'd be that guy. She could just cry.
This would be a great scam.
See, because you'd be, you know, she'd be the downtrodden older woman, and you could be the young businessman in your Cavaricci suit and pumping them for money. You do it on the way to the airport. You do it on your way back. You're all set.
Yeah. Her mistake was doing it too often, it sounds like.
It sounds like, yes. Well, the problem is a lot of people ride the train on a regular basis, and so you kind of have to pace yourself, you know what I mean?
Self-pace.
I'm just saying, pick a different car
a coach,
once in
man.
A while or something.
He's a coach. Like, hey, man, no.
So I will say I haven't ridden the train in quite some time, and the train itself has held up. Some of the stations look pretty rough, but the trains themselves were in good shape. So
yeah,
I ride the train maybe once every couple of years or something. So
I love that story.
Yeah, I know you would, because how much I hate getting panhandled.
Because I wasn't there, that's what I like.
Yeah.
Wasn't me, I probably would have fallen for it. Like, all right, here's 10.
Yeah, I know, you would have caved.
Hey, Grandma, here's 10, go see your...
I should have gave her, I had, if I would have had smaller currency, I had gotten some Canadian money ahead of time. I should have gave her, like, if I had a fiver, as a Canadian fiver, I should have gave her one.
Oh, man, I had some Canadian money, I could let you have, man.
Oh, that's all right, I was all good.
But I got like $20, man.
All I had was 20s in Canadian, and so I'm like, I'm not going to know 20. Screw that.
Yeah, Canadian, man. It's worth like $2 in American or something, man.
Nah, it's $1.11.
Oh.
Sorry. Sorry to burst your bubble.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah.
But So anyway, if I would have had that, maybe I wouldn't have done it anyway, because I was just like totally, you know, I couldn't stand it. I shot off that train. Let me tell you, I hit the airport and I was like, come frisk me.
You know what? I'm walking to Canada. Screw it.
That's right. I don't care. Come grope me all you want, because I just had this like horrible experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Bob Serpent Adventures. This is your new podcast.
It's a whole new. Yeah, if I actually were to venture out in the world a little more. Oh, my gosh. I got more, but you know, we'll save them for. I've got like a whole, I got month's worth of crap saved up from this trip.
The world.
Yeah, on this trip, I'll tell you, I do. I got, sheesh. I'll give you one little one. You got a story or no?
Let's just have your little one. Let's see your little one.
All right, I can give you a couple little ones. So. During the panhandling, I get to the airport, and I haven't flown in a while. And so I don't know exactly what to do, because they change everything like every year now. So I go up to the United stand or whatever, and I'm waiting in line, and I see the little, you know, it says your bag must fit this size, right? Like a little thing to check your bag, see if you can carry it on and so forth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna check my. I haven't flown in a while. I brought a carry on. I want to make sure I can still carry it on. You know, I did that on purpose, because I was only gonna be there a couple days, and I didn't want to take a lot of luggage and have to wait for it and everything. So
yeah.
I go to put my bag down in there to check how if it's big enough and everything, and I slice my fucking finger. Like right above your nail, you know, right above your fingernail.
Yeah.
The little metal thing got caught there and just sliced me right up to my first knuckle there.
Oh my God.
So I'm standing in line to go talk to the people, you know, to see what I have to do. And I'm bleeding. So luckily in my coat pocket I had a napkin, and I'm like, wrap this napkin and hold my hand in my pocket while I'm waiting. Am I going to bleed out in line? I felt like. I'm like, what? They're going to say, are you okay, sir? Why are you bleeding? What's the blood? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, this guy's got a bomb strapped to him.
This ugly fat chick. Yeah. Bleeding.
They'll think I'm like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall or something.
Get ready for a big surprise.
That's right. So that happened to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I could not believe I cut myself right when I get in there, you know, and I'm like,
all the germy, disgusting people that touch.
Oh,
that.
I know. Don't even get me started on that.
You're going to have like,
my finger will turn green like yours did.
So, yeah, I know.
No, it was okay. I
forgot about that. Yeah.
You got the green finger. Instead of gold finger, you're green finger. He is the man with the moldy touch. So I'm waiting for my plot. Okay, I get through that process. I go through and get groped and scanned and have to disrobe and everything. And, you know, take your belt off, take your shoes off, you know. And I get through that part and the security part. And I go to sit down for my plane, because I got there early. I didn't know how long the train was going to take. Mm-hmm. And so I was really early. And so I had like an hour and a half or more to wait. And so I sit down, you know, and I just kind of hanging out and listening to stuff and everything. And so there's, you know, the thing is I always get there early. And there's like nobody there. And you're like, this is going to be great. Nobody's going to be on the plane. And then, like, the last 5 minutes, everybody shows up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So probably about a half hour into it, this dude shows up, looks just like Lauren from college.
Oh. Our former professor, yes, Lauren Packing.
Yeah, Lauren. He shows up. He's, like, wearing a, you know, like one of those Greg Norman-type hats. You know what I mean? The golfer guy.
Yeah.
He's got his bag. He's you know, guy's belly sticking out, and he's going,
"Yes, I thought I pissed myself."
That's right. The guy, you sound like Jimmy Durante there. "I think I thought I pissed myself."
So, ash tonight.
You know, he's on his phone. He's got a, like a little phone holster, and he's like, you know, walking around. He's got a suitcase. He sets it over there and walks away from it. You know, and
he's ready talking. To Canada.
And then he comes back. He chats up every like 25-year-old girl that's in the what? Place.
Wait! What? My parents just died?
That's right.
What, in Atlanta? Oh my God.
I can't afford this plane ticket. No, so like there was, for some reason, there is a lot of young women traveling these days. So yeah. There was all these women that were probably like somewhere between 25 and 30 or something that were traveling. And yeah. He talked to every one of them. I mean, it was like he went from one to the next. Oh, where are you going? Move over. Where are you going?
Here's the sexiest man in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Like somebody's grandpa. Oh, hey. And he was just chatting them all up. I'm like, oh my gosh. Is this guy, you know, Miles Tiles Sr. or what?
Comes up to you. Hey, good looking. Hey,
I like them big. You know what I'm saying?
I like them hairy, big and hairy.
Yeah. Like so you. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Lauren is chatting up all the. I like girls. Remember that?
I like big.
Yeah.
Were you jealous that you were not able to emulate him? And
no, I was just after this point, I was just ready to be there. I mean, I could have ended this and went home, but I would have to get back on the train, so that wasn't going to happen. So
I love this flight. This is like the best experience.
Oh, it gets even worse. So I had the you know I would have. Turned around at that point, but I'm like, okay, I said I would go, you know, I made all these preparations and
girls, I'm saving up for a penile implant.
Yeah, that's right. I got an EpiPen right here in my pocket.
Wanna see if you would volunteer some money for extends, you know, for that's right. Fire.
So then I get on the plane as we're boarding the plane.
Yeah.
And I get in the wrong seat, of course. And then I realize, and I have to shoot across the aisle and so forth. And
it's
this court,
hard.
It's not that hard?
I think they're numbered and lettered pretty well.
They are. I got confused, and I had to look at my board.
26A, 26A,
yeah. And then somebody behind me on their phone says, "My parents died."
No. Oh, my God.
So then I finally get over, and there's this poor guy who I was near. And he was trying to get the attention. This guy looked like Larry David. And he was just ignoring him. He was out and out ignoring. His seat was on the inside.
Yeah.
But he went too far. He went too far. And so he was behind the guy. And he could not work his way back up the aisle. Because people kept coming. And he's like, excuse me. You know, and people were going past him, ignoring him. And then the guy in the seat beside him was just ignoring him flat out. Looked like Larry David. Totally. I mean, there's no way he could have not noticed this poor guy flailing about trying to get his attention. You know what I mean? It was just terrible.
Excuse me. I need to get up here.
And then on this flight, you know, you get seated. We take off, you know. And that's where I'll end it on this leg of the trip here. You get, you know, then they do the drink service, right?
Yeah.
So they got that little tiny skinny, you know, cart that would fall over if it wasn't jammed between those seats and all these people's bodies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady's coming down and doing the drinks. And then she gets to me and she's like, "Would you like a drink?" I said, "Yeah, I'll have a Coke." She goes, "Diet Coke."
Oh, this is the best night ever.
I know.
This is the best story ever. God, I love this story.
I go, "No, just a Coke."
"You sure?"
And I happen to be seatmates with a soldier in fatigues and everything. You know, he was heading home for a while or something. You know, I get this little tiny-ass cup of Coke, like the ittiest, bittiest, like a flattened-out Dixie cup kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
This guy next to me, you know, G.I. Joe next to me here, which deservedly so. I'm not saying that he shouldn't get this, but compared to me and my Diet Coke, you know, kind of a thing that I, attitude that I got, you know. She basically just opened up the rack and was like, you know, what would you like? Anything you want. Anything you want, kid.
You're like George Costanza.
Anything, yeah.
What is this, Jerry? Did you pay him all that?
That's right. So he got a big, he got a bottle of water. It was like a fucking 2-liter bottle of water.
Yeah, have as much as you want.
That's what she was saying. She was like, you know, take whatever you want. What do you want, honey? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, you fat guy. You need the Diet Coke.
Diet Coke, you think?
You need a Diet Coke? No, just a regular Coke, thank you.
Oh.
Yeah, that's exactly what I got. I got the look.
Can you spell diabetes?
Ooh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I got this, like, you know, ice with a spit of Diet Coke, or spit of Coke in it, you know, and this guy gets a whole 2-liter bottle of water.
Not that anyone's complaining.
Not that I could fault him for that. I fault the stewardess for that. But, you know, I'm just like, all right, okay. I can see where this is.
I was, I fought in Desert Shield, just so you know.
Yeah, no, I reported news during Desert Storm.
Yeah.
But that's all I did. I didn't do anything else. That and I sent care package, remember? I did the care package thing.
Yeah, you did. You had some big sign, too, or something.
Yeah, I did a big sign, and we did the care package. Yes. I was a promotions person at a radio station.
The only thing I ever did was interrupt a broadcast of the pod.
That's right. That's right. The
only patriotic thing I ever did.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
So, yeah, I did the message to the troops. I did the care package. I helped with the reporting of the news during the Gulf War.
You did.
I did all those nice things. I didn't fight. I wasn't going to do that. Fuck that. Yeah. And then I get next to this soldier guy. He's like 22 or something. And it's like, oh, yeah, for you, honey. You want a blowjob right here? Hey, fat guy, turn your head. So,
oh, I got a better idea. Fat guy? Clean your head.
Yeah.
What?
So, yeah.
And then I'm going to need a little bit more Coke to wash up.
Yeah, I got the Diet Coke thing, too. So, and you know what? I'm still not even to Canada at this point. So.
Oh, my God. I love this trip. This is the funniest trip.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that was a weird thing. Oh, one last little thing that happened with the TSA on the way out was they were critiquing everybody's shoes as you were taking your shoes off and putting them on the belt.
They
were openly and like across the, you know, there's people on your side, right? And then there's people on the other side, like watching the X-ray machine and everything. And they were openly critiquing everybody's shoes back and forth across the line. It was weird. I'm like, these people they're like going to be stealing everybody's stuff. They're like, I got to get some shoes like this. Or they'd be like, these aren't so nice. You know what I mean?
That fat guy with glasses can pull off Uggs pretty well.
That's right. He's got some Uggs. Yeah, no, I had some dress shoes on, but it was just like,
I don't
this
think they
sold
Vans anymore. Wow.
That's right. Yeah, look at that. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, I couldn't believe it. They're like hitting people up. Where'd you get those shoes? You know? I'm like, this is not happening. Aren't these people just supposed to be like quiet unless I'm going to be packing something? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear them. You know what I mean? I hate this experience. I don't even want to talk to anybody. But everybody talked to me. Everybody had to look at me. People touched me. Talked about my shoes.
Oh, my God.
And the lady was encouraging me to keep my belt on, even though everybody was taking their belts off. She's like, you don't have to take it off as long as you don't mind somebody touching you.
Wait, does that cost?
I'm like, I don't want anybody. I'm okay. I threw my belt in the bucket.
Hey, go for it.
And they touched me anyway, so.
This is the most action I've had in 2 weeks. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was weird. I'm like, oh, never again. I'm not going anywhere for a while, thank God.
Next week, you'll hear the rest of the story.